So we left off last week, we were discussing the prohibition of the Rabban of Shehiya. We said that although in the Torah, you're allowed to leave food on the fire from before Shabbos, even to literally cook it to Shabbos. But with the Rabban, you're not supposed to do that. And the reason is Shem Yichat B'Gichon. We're afraid lest you come to adjust the coal that's come to light the fire. So we said that that is the Rabban of Shehiya, certain parameters to it. Which is some Tanoim, it's permissible once the food is already quasi-edible. Once it's Michael B'Jusoy, that's okay. Another Tanoim said, no, even that's not enough. And we spoke about what ways the Baal Shem permit, some ways the Baal Shem circumvent this sir. If one does what's called Grufa Ketumah, so we spoke a little bit about the modern day applications of Grufa Ketumah as well as that. The Rosh does settle, we're still not 100% clear if and when the Issur of Shehiya is going to apply for us. But there is one case that the Gemara discusses that Shehiya for sure doesn't apply, and we'll see even that is not even certain. So a lot of vagueness about the Issur of Shehiya. The Gemara discussed the following about the first breakfast at Shabbos. Now, what if a person puts up the food before Shabbos, but mamish mamish before Shabbos, literally the minute before Shabbos? So one would think that's the worst kind of Shehiya. Well, Shem Yichat B'Chom, the food's inedible. It was his mouth. That's the best kind of Shehiya. That's what's called the Rocha Kedera Chaisa. Chaisa means literally raw. If you put mamish raw food up in the fire right before Shabbos, there's nothing to worry about. Why? The Gemara says, the Mamsha, who's going to bother stirring the coals? For tonight, it's not going to work anyway. If the food is quasi-cooked, it's in the process of being cooked, so it's gonna, if you stir the coals, maybe you'll be able to have it for dinner tonight. But if it's mamish raw when Shabbos starts, it's not going to be ready anyway for tonight, no matter how much you stir the coals. And no matter what you do or don't do, it's going to be ready tomorrow for lunch. So you have no reason, there's no incentive to stir the coals. So that's a great effort, Kedera Chaisa. So sounds good, sounds like it can make life easy for everybody. Tell the women not to put up the chillin, say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, put it up at 4:15, put it up right before Shabbos starts, that would be great. So the later poskim today are very, very weary whether we should apply this kula of Kedera Chaisa for a variety of reasons. So Rav Henkin, the big posek in America, before he overlapped the Ramayisha, he was there before Ramayisha became the posek in America. Rav Henkin was the one before him. So Rav Henkin was of the opinion that he didn't think that practically in America we should rely on this kula of Kedera Chaisa for two possible reasons. Number one, he said that our cooking devices are better than the one today, the Chazal. They said that in days of Chazal, if you put up a Kedera Chaisa before Shabbos, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to be able to get it to be edible for Shabbos. Whereas today, just put up the heat a little bit higher. Our stoves cook better than the old kivers of Chazal. And therefore, maybe there would be a concern of Kedera Chaisa, even in the case of Kedera Chaisa as Manazeh. In addition, Rav Henkin said that it's not always so clear what point you say something is mamish raw. The postman says it's got to be mamish raw when Shabbos starts. So says Rav Henkin, when does Shabbos start exactly? What's the tchilas of Shabbos? So we know there are so many different shittas out there exactly when Shabbos starts. The Gra, you have different minhagim, and 18 minutes, and 20 minutes, and 40 minutes. It's only that. So most people today are not going to, we're not going to tell people to put up their raw food a minute before Shkia. It would not be a good idea. So we're going to tell them, we're going to give instruction to tell everybody, put up your pots of food, raw food, they're going to put it up 20 minutes before left benching. If they put it up so early, it may no longer be Kedera Chaisa. Maybe the person knows exactly on the dot when the Shabbos starts. If you put that food up at that point, then it would be okay. We're not so sure. There's so many different possibilities. So therefore, it's hard to rely on this school of Kedera Chaisa. The bottom line is that the minhag became almost to avoid the school of Kedera Chaisa. Now, after Rav Henkin, back in the 1940s, 1950s, so now in later generations, last generation, so some wanted to be more that, wait a second, maybe we could bring Kedera Chaisa back to the table. Why? Because we have crock pots. So Kishmom came with slow cookers. So if you have a crock pot, so maybe you could argue that if I put it up, I don't know, half hour before Shabbos, whatever it is, it's not going to be ready by tonight. If I put it on low, so it's not going to be ready by tonight. The only problem is, but I may adjust it and put it on the high. So I don't know, I don't know enough about crock pots. You know, anyone know? What's the fastest amount of time it can take something in a crock pot to cook? I see all the experts here. Okay, yeah. My wife.
I put a tiny one, and it takes hours.
Hours to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's why it's called a slow cooker. Okay. So I don't know. Some wanted to argue that if you put food into a crock pot, raw food right before Shabbos, so then maybe there wouldn't be a problem with Shia altogether, because what's going to happen? If we're ready by tomorrow, if we're ready anywhere, we can adjust the flame, we don't adjust the flame. And if you can adjust the flame, it's not going to be ready anywhere by tonight. So the same svara that Chazal had, but the Chais, it may would apply to Krav. I don't know, I'm not sure. I can't say with certain, but that's okay. And I still think Lechatchila, the person is putting food to Krav, some of the things we said last week. I think we spoke about the lunar fall of the Krav last week. Right, so we should really, to avoid issues of Shahia, one should try to use a makeshift blech. Maybe put aluminum foil. We mentioned last week they're putting aluminum foil between the heating element and the, I'm not sure what that's called, the crock or the pot, whatever it is, putting that and where the food is in. So that would accomplish the feat of ketubah. That's like putting a blech. Unless one argues that since people use that all the time, and even when they're cooking using a crock pot on Tuesdays, they would use that just for cleanliness reasons. So then maybe it's no longer a heker. So we weren't 100% sure about that. We said that as an added precaution, if one wants to rely on a blech, so to make sure blech for crock pots, one should try to cover the knobs also. They're covering the knobs, at least according to some posting would serve as a hacker. So the bottom line is, I don't think somebody should just throw food directly into the crock pot a second before Shabbos. You should try to do it in a way that's either early enough that it's already cooking, you can buy somebody, sorry, or at least one should try to cover it in such a way that it avoids the issues of Shahia by invoking the coolers of blechs, and ketubah, etc.
So if you put the tinfoil in, then you can put the crock pot on any time.
Right, so if you really hold, if you really believe that tinfoil is serving as a blech, which if your wife never uses it during the week, right? Let's say Lu Yitzu, she would use a crock pot during the week, she would never put a little foil during the week, so she's only putting it there on Friday, then I think it's the same as a blech. So that means you put it up anyway, right? Any time on Friday. Right? I think as a precaution in the realm of crock pots, it's not a bad idea to have the food cooked from a little bit before. I know this microwave served before, but again, I can't say that as an absolute requirement. Okay, so that was really the Shirayim of last week, which really sets us up now for the next Sugya, which may be very much related to the previous Sugya, or maybe a little bit different from the last Sugya, depending on what you think about the next Sugya. The next Sugya is the Sugya of Hachzara. That's the prohibition of putting food back onto the fire on Shabbos itself. It should be absolutely clear, and we're going to keep on hopefully you emphasize it as we go along, that when we're talking about the prohibition of putting food back on the fire on Shabbos, we are not talking about Bishul. Where Bishul problems in our Torah have been long solved based on the rules of Bishul from the last couple of months, namely, Ein Bishul Lacha Bishul. Once the food is cooked, so then in our Torah, nothing can possibly, almost nothing can go wrong, in our Torah, once the food is cooked. So any and every kind of a discussion we're going to have from here on in about potentially putting food back on fires, on blacks, on crock pots, on hot plates, on upside down blocks, on whatever device we're going to talk about in the next couple of moments. So everything is assuming that we've already solved all Bishul problems. In our Torah, Bishul has long been clear. How has Bishul been clear? The principle of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. It's because of this, as you remember, throwback we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, although according to the view of the Rashba, can already be solved once the food is Mecha Ben Drusoy, once the third cook, then there's no subsequent Bishul in the Torah, and therefore according to the Rashba, one could conceive of putting food back on the fire, even if it's not fully cooked. The Rambam disagrees, the Rambam holds that until it's Bishul Acha Bishul, until it's fully 100% cooked, one cannot put their food back in the fire in any shape or form. So that's what our practice is. Mishavur writes that we have to be mastered in the view of the Rambam, the Shavu, the Raisa. So any discussion about Achzara is presupposing that the food is completely and totally cooked. Now, if you remember back, we spoke about the rare and medium, so check with your experts in the barbecue realm as to how you should pass about that. But the bottom line is that the food has to be halachically fully cooked in order to be to permit any kind of putting back in the fire. But even though Minat Torah would be okay, but the Rabbanim is a problem. That's what the Mishnah tells us in the Masechta Shabbos, that there is a prohibition with the Rabbanim of Hachzara. You're not allowed to put something back onto the fire, even in a situation where we've solved the Bishul issues. Why did Chazal institute the prohibition of Hachzara? What was wrong? What's wrong with the Din D'Oraisa putting it back? What's wrong with the Bishul Acha Bishul? So here it's not 100% clear. There's a big machlekes of Rishon to Nash and Rabbeinu Tam. What exactly is the source for this prohibition? So Rabbeinu Tam says that this is part of everything we've been talking about now, namely Shemichat B'Gicholim. The same way Chazal was concerned of leaving food in the fire on Friday because we're afraid you're going to stir the coals. So Kavachayim, if you put the food back on Shabbos, then you're putting cold food back, and everyone's collapsing and sitting around waiting for the meal to be served, and the person says in the kitchen, "We're so sorry, but it's going to take a long time for the food to get heated up." So the husband's going nuts. He said, "Why? What do you mean it takes a long time here?" Well, the wife's going, someone's going nuts in the kitchen. Why do you mean it takes a long time to heat up the food? Just stir the coals and make the food get hotter quicker. Oh, Shemichat B'Gicholim. So we're afraid that if you put food back on the fire on Shabbos, you may end up violating Nisr Deraisa. According to Ben Adam, the Isser of Achzara is primarily rooted in the same kind of an Isser as Shehiyah is. It's a Gezeirah Shemichat B'Gicholah. We'll see as we go on, hopefully it's a little bit more Chomer than Shehiyah because it's taking place on Shabbos itself, but it's rooted in the same type of prohibition. Rashi, in the beginning of Maseches, beginning of the third breath of Maseches Shabbos, quotes a whole other angle of this Isser. Rashi introduces another potential reason for this Isser of Achzara, nothing to do with Shemichat B'Gicholah, but rather it's also Mishur Mechzeh Kimavashel. It's also because it looks like one is cooking. You see, you walk into a person's kitchen and you see them taking food out of the fridge and putting it onto the fire. Oh, looks like they're cooking the food. Not everybody knows that the chicken is cooked. Not everybody knows that the kugel is made already. People are going to see it putting food onto the fire. It looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. So I'm not saying this is a real Maror Sayan type of dinner, it just gives off the wrong impression, whatever the case may be. But it's a new issue with the Rabbanu called Mechzikim of Ashel. So two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim, we'll see as we go along, some very important nafkaminas and practical applications that emanate from both of these reasons. But these are the two official reasons on the books. Rabbi Natan says one, and Rashi quotes at least as one possibility, the other of Matzekim of Asher. In order for Hagzorah to be permissible, so the Mishnah, the Gemara spell out, a whole series of conditions can be met, and then Hagzorah becomes permissible. You have to understand what those conditions are and why they solve the problems. It's hard to know why they solve the problems, but we're not sure what the problem is in the first place. So what exactly are the conditions that have to be matter of Zara? So first and foremost, you got to clear the Bishul issue that we already said. That's a given, that the food has to be Mispashel Kotzorcha. There's nothing to discuss in terms of that. There's another important issue to be aware of, something that we spoke about in the past, that if we're dealing with a liquid, a person wants to put a soup back in the fire in Shabbos, so that may be a much, much more serious problem than just the Achzor problem. Achzor is only a Midrabban. At the end of the day, to put a dry piece of chicken on the fire in Shabbos is not a deraisa in any stretch of the imagination. But to put a pot of chicken soup back on the fire may be the deraisa, because even though ain bishul acha bishul, half the Rishonim say that's only true by salad, because salad, even though it's cold, you can still eat it. It's a piece of kugel, dry piece of chicken, you can still eat it cold. But you have a bowl of chicken soup that's cold. The bishul was nispachel. So it's always bishul when you reheat chicken soup, that's like cooking it from scratch. So if you go down the route of those Rishonim that say that there's a problem with raisa of bishul on liquids that have cooled off, so then all bets are off also. Then we don't need the Issa Derabbanan. Any coolers we're going to have for the Issa Derabbanan are going to fall by the wayside. Everything we're going to say in terms of leniencies about Achzorah only apply when we're dealing with the Derabbanan. If you have any chashash with the raisa in our hands, then all bets are off. So if the food's not fully cooked, that's a chashash deraisa. Even if it is fully cooked, it's a liquid that cooled off, it's also a potential for chashash deraisa. How much are we chashash for that? How serious, how concerned are we for liquids that are cooled? So we spoke about this in the Bishul Shiurim. It's basically my focus to Mechaber and Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradim, a more machmir than Yashkenazim in this, the Sfaradim are of the opinion, follow the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that once the food has dipped beneath the point of Yatzah Ledes, but if I have a liquid, and the liquid is now down to 98 degrees, so 98 degrees is already not Yatzah Ledes, but again, it's the hot water, 98 degrees. So once it's dipped beneath whatever the number is, 110, 113, whatever number you think, 160, whatever number you think Yatzah Ledes is, so once it's dipped beneath that point, so then it's already subject to a new bishul according to Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah's Mekel. Ramah says that even if it's dipped beneath the point of the Yatzah Ledes, but it's still warm. As long as it's still warm and it's still edible, it means I can still be kosher, eat the soup. It's like the soup that was brought out, and you're in the middle of Zmiris, so and by the time you get to eating the soup, it's not piping hot in the oven, and it's not ice cold either. So as long as it's still edible the way it is, the Ramah says, then there wouldn't be a problem of Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. So the Ashkenazim are a drop more maker, not too much more, question of a couple of degrees, but a little bit more maker than the Shulchan Aruch and this. But everybody agrees, both the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim agree, if the liquid came out of the fridge, sitting in the pot of soup, been in the fridge all night, now you want to put it back on the fire, forget it, that would be a very, very serious problem, and that's nothing to do with Achzorah. It may be Achzorah also, but it may be worse than Achzorah. But what issues do we have? What kind of solutions do we have to the issues of Achzorah proper? We have fully cooked food, and it's a solid food, so we want to put it back on the fire. What can I possibly do? So the first condition that the Gemara says is it has to be Gerufa Ketubah. The same way we saw by Shehiyah, that the fire has to either remove the coals, or you have to cover the flame in such a way that solves the problems of Shemichat and the Gecholim. So what does that mean practically for us? So the same way we said last week, it means a blach. Same way that we're making, not everyone even accepted the blach. We mentioned last week some of the chazanish was opposed to the blachs, don't really accomplish anything, but the minhag Yisrael has been to be very lenient to accept that a blach is the equivalent of ketumah. So just as it's the equivalent of ketumah for Shehiyah, it's the equivalent of ketumah for Achzor as well. So if you have a blach, if you have a covered fire, then you're good to go, almost good to go. Except that the Gemara has two more conditions. And the two more conditions become very, very problematic. So the Gemara says in the third Pentecost of the Shabbos that unlike Shehiya, where Ketumah is good enough, unlike Shehiya with Ruth is good enough, when it comes to Achzar, if you want to put food onto the fire, again, no Bishul. Bishul's already been long salved. It's a dry, cold, dry, fully cooked food. So we're not even in the realm of Bishul. But just to solve the problem of the Rabbanu of Achzara, you need two more conditions after we met. One of the conditions is Oda Biyado, and the other condition is Daito Hachzar. Namely, when I took the food off the fire, I'm still holding on to it. So I took a food, let's say it's Friday night, and I'm taking out some food, I'm serving some chicken. So I take a tray of dry chicken off the vlach, I take it off, I start to give people the food, and then I say, you know what, I want to put it back on the fire. So that's called Oda Biyado, as long as I'm still holding on to it. If I'm still holding on to the pot, that's okay. But even that's not enough. It has to be Daitel Hach. So it has to be when you took it off the fire, you were planning on returning it back to the fire. So if both of those conditions are met, Oda Biyado and Daitel Hach, and it's Gufo Ketumah, and it was fully cooked, and everything else that we said before, all of those conditions are met, so Bishul's been cleared, and you have the three Havzara conditions, so condition of Gufo Ketumah is necessary to avoid Havzara, you need Oda Biyado to avoid, you need Daitel Hach to avoid. All those conditions are met, then it's okay. You can really begin to see this is going to pose serious challenges to putting food back in the fire on Shabbos morning, unless a person had nothing else to do Shabbos Friday night and sleeping holding on to his pot. So if you go to sleep on Friday night holding on to your pot, that's all the other night lach, so then you may be in business. And even that's going to be a problem. We'll see for other reasons.
Is it a separate halacha when, let's say, the food was not on the fire at all?
We're getting there. That's going to be one of the big coolest, one of the possible big coolest, controversial big coolest. So where did all this come from? Like, it's a Gemara. Gemara in the third part of Shabbos. Where did Chazal figure all this out from? That it's over the other. That's what Hachzor. What's this all about? So this seems to be a throwback as to what the reason for the Isser of Hachzor is all about. What are we concerned with in the first place? So if we're really concerned with Mechzikim Vashel, that's what's really bothering us. The real Isser is Mechzikim Vashel. So then I can begin to understand why all these extra conditions are necessary. If it's Oda Biyado and Daitel Hachzir, it doesn't really give off the impression of cooking, because look at what's happening in the kitchen. You walk into the kitchen and somebody's taking a pot of food off the fire, holding on to it for a minute or two, and then putting it right back on. So anyone who sees that whole thing playing out is not going to think there's any bishul more. Everyone realizes, I'm just returning the food to the fire that was there before. But if you walk into the kitchen and you see there's a pot sitting on the table, and now somebody walks over and puts it onto the fire, that's not the Mechzikim Mevashel. So the ideas of Oda Biyado and Daitel Hachzir are very, very much Mechzikim Mevashel oriented. What if you think that that's not even the reason for Hazara? What if you think the reason for Hazara is Shem Yechad V'Yecholim? So one of those reasons makes sense. So the stem of those reasons makes sense is that if it's Oda Biyado and Daitel Hachzir, so there's less of a chance to give you b'chat to b'gicholot. Because what it means is, it just came from a hot fire. If it just came from the fire, and you're holding on to it, so you're probably not holding on to it for 10 hours, and if it's daitel hachzira, it means it's basically within a very, very close proximity to where it was before, in terms of time and area. So then, under those circumstances, it's unlikely shem yichad b'gicholot. If you stop putting it down, it's going to start to cool off, you're going to leave it there for an hour, and then you want to put it back on, so there's more of a concern of shem yichad b'gicholot. So it could be that, whether you go down the route of Rashi, whether you go down the root of Rabbeinu Tam, we can understand what this is all about. We can understand what Chazal threw these extra precautions at us, that in order to do Achzara, it's got to be Oda Biyado, it's got to be Daitel Hachzir. So it makes sense according to all Rishonim. One could possibly...
Even with Ruf and Ketumah, you'd still have that concern with Rabbeinu Tam?
Right. So you have to see according to Rabbeinu Tam that there's more of a concern in Shem Yichad V'Gicholim when the food is, when this is being done on Shabbos itself. So it was more of a problem. So one could possibly split, and this seems to appear in the Rush, that maybe the Machlekes Rashi of Beit Tam has to be understood in the sense of maybe it's not an either or, it's not an all or nothing. Maybe the Machlekes, quote unquote, Rashi of Beit Tam, so they're both right. That there are could be two distinct reasons why Chazal asked Achzara, and both reasons are correct, and both concerns have to be addressed. It could be Chazal were worried about two things. They were worried about Shem Yichad V'Gicholim, which is no different than the old Shehiya story, and then in addition, they threw another Chumayu, Mechzikim V'Vashel. Obviously, Mechzikim V'Vashel doesn't make sense on Friday, it doesn't make sense for Shia, but for Achzor and Shabbos, there is a secondary concern to Mechzikim V'Vashel. If both of those reasons are right, so that may explain why we need all the solutions combined together. It's not enough just to say Gufa Ketumah and call it a day, because Gufa Ketumah addresses head-on the issue of Shem Yichad V'Gicholim. But he's still the other issue, the other concern. The other concern is Mechzikim V'Vashel. So Mechzikim V'Vashel will be addressed by the Oda Biyado Daitel Hachzir. On the other hand, just to say Oda Biyado Daitel Hachzir and call it a day and say it doesn't matter whether it's a block or not is also not sufficient because I still have in the back of my mind Shem Yichad V'Gicholim. So that's what the Rush seems to say, that they're actually both reasons are correct. that there's a prohibition of Achzor for two different reasons. There's the good old Disser of Shemichat being called, and then there's new concern of Mesek and Ravashel, and Bidavka, because there are two distinct concerns, that's why we need multiple solutions. Each solution is addressing a different concern. So when all the Lomda settles, with Rashi, with the Tam, with the Rush, with the other, Hanogela Maisa, is that in order for Achzor to be Mutter, all of the above must be met. We have to clear the air on Bishul. Bishul's got to be long taken care of, and all the things that we spoke about. And then we have to also clear ourselves in terms of Achzorah. We have to have a group of Ketumah, we have to have all the Biyadu, that Lahachzav, this has got to be wonderful in order for us to be Ma'atir. So we would think that we have so many conditions, we're good to go. We met all these conditions. So comes the Beis Yosef and throws another condition at us from left field. Comes the Beis Yosef and said that even if all the other conditions are met, the food has to still be hot. Now, the food is tzaddik, the food is cooled down, so then that's a big problem. That's nothing's going to solve. Nothing's going to ever permit you to put cold food back on the fire and Shabbos, even if all our conditions were met, because of something. I'm not sure what the Beis Yosef meant. So it's interesting, there are more quotes to Beis Yosef. So this is Ashkenazi and Sephardi connection that the Beis Yosef started. There are more quotes, and they both say emphatically that no matter what, all bets are off if the food is cooled off already. And the question is, what is wrong with the food cooling off? If I have everything else going for me, why do I care whether the food is cooled off? So this was a major machlokes of Gedolei Poskim to the Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon. So the Magen Avraham's opinion was that this is a Hachzor issue. That means that calls man that the food is hot, so we could still consider it to be Odu B'yada, Odayin T'lahachzor. It's still a continuation of what you did before. Once the food is cold, it could be Odu B'yada, Odayin T'lahachzor, tomorrow. It could be Odayin T'lahachzor, Odayin tomorrow. But if the food is already cooled down, so then that's a big problem. That's a big concern. All the issues, all the concerns of Hachzor come back to life. None of the conditions that Chazal stipulated are going to solve the problem if the food is already cooled down. But fundamentally, the problem of the requirement of Lord Tzad Ligamrei is a Hachzor Tikadin sends them on their bum. But unlike the Magen Avraham, the Vilna Gaon says, the concern of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, the insistence that it has to be food that hasn't cooled down yet, so the Vilna Gaon says, that has nothing to do with Hachzor. Hachzor already cleared the year of Hachzor, already finished. It's Mufaktum, it's on the Biyadu, that lasts. So what do you want from me? Says the Gra, the reason why the food must be warm is because otherwise you have a Bishul problem. This is a throwback to what we said before, that there may be a Bishul problem. Why is there a Bishul problem? So the Gra is learning this pshat in the Beis Yosef and the Ramah that they were only talking about liquids. When the Beis Yosef and the Ramah said that you have to make sure the food is still warm, they didn't mean the kugel has to be warm, they didn't mean the chicken has to be warm. They meant the soup has to be warm. Or the chillin, depending on your consistency of chillin. I'm always afraid that when somebody asks me a shayla about, we put chillin back on the hot plates. It's always a very insulting answer because it all depends on just how the chillin is. It's a very watery chillin, but it's a davalach, and it's a very gishmak, a salad chillin. So I know in different yeshivas, depending on how much money was raised that week to put meat, the more meat and potatoes in the chillin, and water is significantly cheaper than all the other ingredients in chillin. We'll leave it at that. So some chillins are lach, some are fish. So according to the Vilna Gaon, the issue involved putting cold food back in the fire, the reason why that trumps everything, why that's a problem, is because that's a Bishul problem. But according to the Gra, it's only true if it's a Davalach. So you have to bring Machlokes now, big Nafkamin Ladinim to the Magen Avraham and the Gra. This new condition, we're not sure where it came from, but the Beis Yosef and the Ramah just threw at us, it's got to be hot, got to be hot, got to be hot. So the Magen Avraham says, that's a Chaykhul Yavr Nachazara. It's inconceivable, says the Magen Avraham, to ever put cold food back on the fire and Shabbos, no matter what you did, no matter the other like the groups of food, you say on your head, putting cold food back on the fire and Shabbos, solid liquid is absolutely out of the question. In the violation of Achzor Gedol Mizu. And according to the Gra, it's not true. According to the Gra, if it's a liquid, then you have a Bishul problem. If not a liquid, then it's mutter. It's provided that the other conditions are met. So this machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Gra, was a machlokes ad hayom hazeh. Was a machlokes to two gedolei liyonim of last generation, Rav Moshe and the Rav. That the Rav Moshe thought that the Ikra din was like the Magen Avraham. He thought that's a rope post about the Magen Avraham, and therefore, if it's cold, it's out of the question. Nothing to discuss. And the Rav thought, no, the Rav is the briskest, the Goyin said, so the Gra said that's only an issue of Bishul, and therefore, if it's not a liquid, therefore, the whole condition falls by the wayside. So therefore, in the world of the Rav, in theory, we didn't say yet mutter, but in theory, one could conceive of possibly doing Havzara, even on cold foods, if they're solid foods. Again, we have a lot more work to do to make it mutter. There are other, all the other conditions have to presumably be met, but at least we could discuss the topic according to the Rav. It's on the radar screen to take food out of the refrigerator and heat it up on Shabbos. Maybe we can come up with an ethic where, according to Moshe, it's done before it starts. And you can't even discuss it because once it's cold, it's an automatic violation of Avzar. This is part of, we'll talk about this now, we'll get to now, this is part of the famous Boston cooler. This is the famous cooler we'll talk about. And people from Boston will fill me in on how much this was, is, or still practiced with Manazev, the famous cooler of the Rav. But again, there's a little bit of a story to go before we get to that point. So the bottom line is we're working with the general parameters of Chazal, that we have to have proof of Tumu, we have to have all the other Night Lahachzer, and all the official conditions, etc. So even within these conditions of all the other Night Lahachzer, the Gemara itself is not 100% sure about these two conditions, all the other Night Lahachzer. The Gemara is not sure whether you need both or whether either one suffices. It's actually a suffix in the Gemara, unresolved suffix in the Gemara. Boy, what's one of the Gemara? It's a boy, it's the vital of Shitta. And we're not sure what the din is. When Chazal speaks about the insistence of Odu B'Yodo / Daitel Hachzer, does that mean Odu B'Yodo plus Daitel Hachzer? Or does that mean Odu B'Yodo or Daitel Hachzer? Now one can imagine that's going to make life significantly easier in the kitchen if you take the lenient side. If you hold the Odu B'Yodo Daitel Hachzer, what that's going to mean is, you have to, any time you want to take food, even for a minute, take it off the fire and want to have the ability to put it back on, you're serving for a night and people are coming late to the meal and you want to be able to hold chillin' for whatever your cheshbenis are, so you're going to have to be old to be other. You have to hold on to it. And Daitel Hachzer, that's going to be a big pain. If you hold like the other tzad, that's either or, gewaldig. It's Daitel Hachzer. It's much easier to have das, to hold on to something. Hini mucham zoom to put it back on. And I put it down on the table, and 20 minutes later, it's still hot, I hold the other proof of tumah. So if you hold that, either one condition would be okay, so we have to make life much easier. The chadchila, we try to be knowing like the machmirim. Different opinions in the Rishon, the maskana. Some Rishon say, it's a safek, it's only the rabbanon, some the rabbanon kula. And other Rishon are not so quick to pull out a hat, some the rabbanon kula under these circumstances. Variety of reasons, so we try the chadchila to be machmir. We would really, really try to set up the case of Zara, if and when we want to dish out food and put it back on the fire. We'd want to make sure that all the other and that lots of both conditions are met if we can. If one stuck, it happened one without the other, Mr. Brewer pimples about maybe the damage we make. But look at Chila, our kitchen should try to be run with a real all the other night lots. Somebody really hold you on to it. Shimon Aida quotes in a safe in for Shabbos that Odubiyadam doesn't mean that you're necessarily holding it in midair. If it's on the table, it's on the counter, but you're holding on, Odubiyadam, still holding on to the pot. So he quotes from the Pesach, that would be okay also. So that's what many of them make it like that. That even though we want to dish out something on a Friday night, and we want to be able to put it back in the fire, and you know, back in the block in 2 minutes from now, you don't have to be holding in midair a big giant pot, you can put it down as well. So those who remember back in the Marsha Kol days, so this goes back to at Kufis, back in Rosh Hashanah. I think in our year, I don't even think there was Friday Night Shulchan in our year, but in the later years, there was definitely Friday Night Shulchan. So they used to serve Friday Night Shulchan and Shabbat Shulchan, the same Shulchan. It was a huge, it was like this big pot. So they would take it off the fire on Friday night to serve Friday night for the Tish Shulchan, but then they wanted to be able to put it back on the blech. It was fully cooked. The Shulchan's been cooked since Tuesday. It was fully cooked, and there was a blech there. But the problem was, is that you had the old B'yodah Daitel Hachzer, so Daitel Hachzer was easy, old B'yodah was hard. So you needed like three guys to pull this thing off the fire. So finally you had three guys pulling it off, and then you just sit there until you scoop out children for 100 guys, and it's ridiculous. So there was one guy who was designated, they would put it down on the counter in the kitchen, in the kolon, and there was one guy who used to hold on to it for dear life. That was his job. He would stand there for 20 minutes, and he would hold on to the pot, and that was the following of this Pesach of Shemunai, and that was the call to Odu B'Yodo. I cannot leave out mentioning that there were certain characters, which I remain nameless, but some people probably know them. They have very prominent rabbanim in certain communities in the state of Colorado, that decided that this was a good time to have some fun. And as one of the fellows, whose job was to hold the children like this, it was always time to tickle at that point, and he couldn't stop because he couldn't move. Because if he moved, he just assed up the children to 150 people. So that was an ongoing joke on Friday night. Is that what? How bad can we shepherd the guy who's holding onto the children pot? That's what yeshiva guys do at 12 o'clock at night. Okay. I don't forget, there was one Shabbos where something happened with the fire. It was I think the fire got out of something, but there was a small fire which was on, so we wanted to put that humongous pot onto the small fire. It would never stay warm, Shabbos, so we wanted to transfer some of the children into a smaller pot. That's a very complicated Hazara problem. When you switch things from one pot to another, is that called Odu B'Yodu? Like Lahaksev, you switch pots. So remember, it's a whole Tanaram that Friday night. And the other five things have Lahaksev, and a lot of stuff was going on. So I remember that particular Shabbos, I walk. I think Rabbi Willie was away that Shabbos. I think Rabbi Sif was also, all the Rabbanim were away. I think I was like the highest ranking. I was like 25. I was the counselor. I was like the highest ranking person there. So we had to figure out how to salvage that shul. But that was the Yetzirah problem. The regular shul, the regular Friday night, was just, I think in later years, I think they have two shul. Anyone, any Russia called people there? No? Okay. So I think, honestly, I think they've gone to the mode of two shul pots to avoid these problems. But in the old days, it was like one big shul pot. So you have to rely on the other night. So hopefully that's your next. We'll try to continue the practical application.
Send out notice.
Oh yeah, next week the time of the show probably will be off a little bit, the Davi will be off a little bit, for Shnodish Hanukkah, we'll keep you posted after that.